Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This episode of Whiskey Riff Raff is brought to you by The Return of Tanya Tucker, featuring Brandi Carlile. Decades after country legend Tanya Tucker slipped from the spotlight, music star Brandi Carlile takes it upon herself to write an album for her hero. Directed by Kathleen Horan, the film chronicles the greatest comeback in country music history, taking a deep dive into Tanya Tucker's life and career, as well as the collaboration between her and Brandi Carlile. Winner of the Audience Award at South by Southwest, The Return of Tanya Tucker, featuring Brandi Carlile, opens only in theaters on October 21st in New York and Los Angeles, and everywhere else on November 4th. For more information, visit sonyclassics.com/film/The Return of Tanya Tucker.
We were just talking about cardboard cutouts. We got Colby Cooper here. Second time, right? On the podcast.
Second time. Here we are.
As you're, it looks like you're in a hotel.
Right? I am. You can see my bag right there.
Well, appreciate you jumping on.
Oh, dude, absolutely. I was just playing Madden, so.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Wes, we got to get the – Wes and I live in different states. We want to get the PS – is it five now? What is
it? Five, six, ten. Yeah, what are they on
now? Five. So we can play. We used to play mad against each other in the office and bet and drink. And
we should just get on George Twitch. By 10. We should get on Twitch and live stream just Madden games instead of doing podcasts. us three could play each other in Madden and then just talk shit. Oh,
that's a great idea, I think.
I mean, so Chase, my manager, is my brother, and you know, obviously we fucking grew up slaying in Madden. So I mean, dude, next time let's get on some Twitch and me and him versus y'all two will kick your ass.
Probably would.
Are you one of those like serious? By the way, I don't know if people heard, we were looking at height. George Strait's 5'10", Alan Jackson's 6'4", but they're the same size cardboard cutout. So she scales it. So they don't look awkward, but yeah. It's kind of, now I'm kind of like, I kind of wish Alan was the actual 6'4". Yeah.
They're how both tall is life that one? Size. This one's probably about 5'10" with the cowboy hat on.
Taller than George?
No,
they're
Alan's
about the same. Okay.
They're about the same size. It's
like artwork where you order like print sizes.
Yeah.
I don't think if.
We order that shit from Australia on Etsy.
Yeah. We just were sending them pictures and like, can you get us a full life-size cutout, and that was like what they do, and we found this company.
How does it make it overseas without bending and shit? I mean,
how does
thumb make it, dude? Like, I feel like the thumb would have just broken off at some point.
I think it's really slick. It's like there's like joints almost, yeah, right? It's on the back, and then you snap it into place. It comes like flat.
Okay.
Yeah, comes like all padded in this like flat frame of a thing, and then you like snap it out and put the cardboard in, and it's pretty.
We should
cool.
get it. I think what would be actually funny, me having it at the house might be like weird, but
just
tell yourself three or four more so they're just all behind you like a Mount Rushmore.
Get Willie.
I mean, dude, it would be pretty cool to get like a Waylon one and a Willie one and then like one of me.
you and Co Wetzel just kind of like in the middle, just kind of mash a lot.
Sounds good to me, man.
Well, so, Speaking of you and Co, you guys did or are going to do a few more dates here soon, right?
Yeah, we've got, man, I would honestly be lying if I told you the amount we had left over the end of the year, but I know it's more than none. And that'll be fun.
How's you got, you're waiting on child number three, right?
That's right.
All right. And Co's in a little bit of a different spot in his life, I think. how is that hanging out with him? He's obviously such a nice guy, but
The misses a little,
the indulged, the I'm not going to go too crazy and stay up till 6 a.m. Is it a lot easier these days?
Man, I mean, I'm not like, you know, I've always been a night owl. So I've always stayed up super late, and Co's always been cool as shit and always like, you know, I've been in a relationship with my wife since, you know, since we were in high school. So ever since I've known him, I have, and he's always been, you know, we've always partied together, but he's always been just fucking, you know, just partying, having fun.
Yeah. He's a good dude. I think we've said this probably on like 25 podcasts, but like drunkest I think I've ever been in my life. With Wetzel.
Yeah. I mean, he was on a bus next to us, but we were at the same venue as him. I was just up on the first bus we ever took out. It was Casey Donahue's. And I mean, I was gone, man. After the show, we played at like 8:30, and by 9:40, I was blackout up on the bus, and I threw up all on Casey's bus. And it's, I don't think I ever told Casey about it when we released it from, but
throwing up, I feel like as you get older, you get really, really good at knowing your body and knowing when you're going to do it for the most part. Like now when I throw up, it's because I took a zinc on an empty stomach. I'm trying to be healthy. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not because of like, but if you're drinking a lot of beer when you get older, your body just is like, stop.
You're done.
Like physically, like you try to take a sip, you start burping and you're like gargling it. And you're just like, I can't do this anymore. That's why they call marathon beers. But you're younger than us. I don't know by how many years, but I know by a few. And, but having the kids, that probably helps you, right? Like, all right, what's the point? Like, you know what I mean? Like you're out. It's just
like being hungover and taking
being hungover around the kids. To me, that's the worst possible situation outside of being physically sick is like being hungover around your own kids. Cause it's just like, you can't function.
I mean, I think that's even worse than being sick. Cause then it's like,
true.
Then you're, they're like, what's wrong, daddy? You're like, I'm a fucking idiot. You know, like, it's not like, oh, I don't know, I'm just throwing up cause I'm sick. It's like, oh, you know, me and the buddy stayed out.
And your wife is just staring a hole through you the whole day. Like,
piece of shit.
Exactly. You're trying to like, act like you're washing the dishes, sweating. And you're just like,
And you gotta like act like you're fine. Like, yeah, I feel okay, and
a little squirrely.
You go to the bathroom for like 30 minutes at a time, just to like sit and quiet.
Man, I haven't had a bad hangover in a minute. I'm 23. Same. I'm not like fucking. I don't get really bad hangovers yet, but like I hear that like you know 26. Later in your 20s they get worse and worse. And so fortunately, like my favorite drink is like Dr. Pepper and Malibu. Like if I'm going to like have cocktails or something,
that sounds about like the worst possible hangover remedy.
Okay. And like I'm good every day. Like I'm, you know, I wake up the next morning and feel fine, but I don't get like fucked up on them. I'll have like one or two. I don't know. Like I've only been
that able must be to sweet.
Legally drink for 2 years.
Yeah. You
know, I love it, but it, you know.
Yeah. That Bert Kreischer, the comedian, I don't know if you know him. He has that viral clip. He was on Barstool talking about why he'll never quit drinking, even though he thinks he has a problem. And he just talks about like going to the airport or the mimosas. Let's get one mimosa. Then it turns into 20. It's so true. Like it's the communal element of it to me, that kind of, or in the garage, football or gambling, or like, it's not so much, I'm just going to sit there, but that whole thing is kind of fun. And you're 23, you're quite a bit younger than us.
And you had that tweet like a little bit ago about walking into the hotel room and like, you never know if it's going to be like the best hotel room or it's going to be like,
this is like, you know, this is just your average, like there's nothing to complain about with this room, but the meaning behind the tweet was like, no one ever just wants an average fucking room. Like you want to walk in and be like, holy shit, I paid $210 for this, you know? But it never happens.
But it's like that feeling is like, oh, what could it be? That's kind of like how when you start drinking, you like open a beer, you're like, oh, what's tonight going to hold? It's exciting. And then you go to the hotel, you find the mini bar. You're like, oh, I got I got fucking Miller Lite in here. That's great.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean,
oh, I got to pay for this.
No, is you it, don't. You just what, don't tell them about it.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. What? No, I had this pulled up because you were talking. I had no idea your drink of choice. I imagine what your drink of choice, the Malibu and Dr. Pepper. That's got to be really sweet, right?
A sweet it tastes like the beach. You know,
is that what you're drinking on stage? August. It's like a blue. What is that? And you got something in a bottle.
Oh no, that's you've never had Boone's Farm wine.
Oh no, I thought that was like an MD.
I've heard of it. I've never
had. Or from me, and I guess I don't know what the hell we're talking about.
I think I don't know if it's just like a southern thing. Like I don't know where all they sell it, but like, dude, it's so I fucking despise wine. I think it's gross. I mean, you know, I get like maybe like,
and that's another. You'll grow into that.
That's what they say, you know. And maybe I will, but they also told me I'd like fucking coleslaw when I got older, and I still don't like that shit. So. But like, dude, it's like I mean, it's literally like Kool-Aid in a bottle. Like I think. I could probably drink 3 full bottles of Malibu and that's what would get me drunk. Like, and I can get drunk pretty easy. Like I don't drink a ton. So when I do, it's like, I can get fuckered up real good, real easy. You know?
I gotta look. Are you trying to look it up, Wes?
Yeah. It's like $3 a bottle.
Hey, I mean, you know, in college,
I thought it was, what was that other stuff? MD40. Oh yeah. MD40. Yeah.
That's what
Yeah. I don't even know.
No, yeah,
40 is different.
What is?
There's Mad Dog. You ever had Mad Dog?
Yeah, I've heard of that too. I've never had that either. The MD2020.
Oh, MD2020. Yeah, but I don't fucking know.
That's a similar thing, though, right? It's like a flavored wine.
Whatever it is, Mad Dog is the like the first really bad hangover I had. We played this private party with Co, and they were just drinking. We got up on the bus, and we're like, "Cool, man!" And like. I was like, what is this? He's like, oh, it's Mad Dog. It's just shit we used to drink in high school. And I was like, fuck yeah, man. And took a drink of it and like we just passed it around. And by like the fourth time,
they brought
steaks up there and I grabbed like a full steak with my hand. And I was so drunk that I was just like eating it like a hamburger, just like,
T-bone.
And I was just, you know, passing this bottle around. And I was literally hungover by the time we left. Like it was 3 hours later, it was like 4:30 in the morning. And I was on the way home leaning back, like hiccuping, like, Oh,
that's the hiccups. Oh, I'm sorry. Bad. I misspoke. MD 2020 goes by its nickname Mad Dog. That's the same thing.
Okay.
Might
as well have been. That shit gave me a bad hangover, but like, I don't know, man. I think the Boone's Farm didn't, but also I get high after the show too. So it's like maybe that like fights it off. I don't know. You guys know, does that help any with your hangovers?
Oh yeah. I mean, if I'm actually hungover and I take an edible or smoke, I feel like I have the most relaxing, like falling asleep feeling.
Take a nap.
You probably can't perform. That's risky, right? With booze, you can kind of know. You're like, I'm feeling it. Unless you're chugging a bottle of, you know, whiskey, you're going to kind of know what you're doing with weed or with an edible. Are you the same way? Are you kind of really confident? You know exactly where your body's at. Have you ever taken something and been like, oh shit. The stage is wobbling.
The first time I ever, I mean, I'm great on stage with stoned, you know, and that's just,
I like
you know,
to work.
Yeah. All of us are. Yeah. Me too, man. Like it's so, it helps me creatively a lot. And also on stage, like, I mean, when I played the Opry the other day, I was, you know, walked out there and I was just stoned. It kept me from walking out there and, oh God. Yeah. Hey God. You know, I walked out there and I feel like I killed it. And like, I got a standing ovation. It was crazy. And like, I wasn't nervous. I was just like, this feels right. You know? And I think,
like, who are you guys clapping for?
Yeah. I mean, dude, I walked out, like I played my 2 songs. Thank you so much. Turned around, walked off and got off side stage, giving management hugs. And they're like, dude, that was sick. You got a fucking standing ovation and everything. I was like, what do you mean? They're like, look, and they're all standing up. I was like, fuck, I just walked off on these dudes.
He was like, fuck you. Like guys.
curtain call, like in baseball, curtain call, come back out. Yeah. They're like, whoa, this kid's taking it a little far.
Yeah, dude, that's a shit. Just walk back out. Y'all want more? Man, I would have never been allowed back. I also thought that I said shit while I was on stage too. So I was scared the whole time.
Do they have a rule? Do they have a cursing rule?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that. I wouldn't have been allowed back, but I mean, I'm scared that I would have been, you know. I mean, it's like this legendary place that's fucking sick to play. It was my first time, and halfway through excuses, I was like, oh shit, did I say bullshit in the course or did I not? I can't remember.
But every podcast for us, like when we say something stupid.
Oh yeah. Have you ever been somewhere where you had to like edit a song or like change out a word or
like shows?
Yeah.
Or apologize for something that you did wrong or like
where there's like a rule, like where you can't cuss or you can't do this. Like, hey, you're going to play a birthday party, like a private show for some, like my grandma. And like, we no cussing.
Your grandma better have a lot of cash.
At this point, like it's just like earlier, like in my career, it was like, yeah, there were more shows where like, hey, you can't play. I mean, I guess it was really Diamond Rings and cocaine early on, but then like once we released two words, it was like we had built to the point also that it was like when you pay for us to come, you know what you're getting. And like one of our biggest songs is literally called Fuck You. So it's like, if you're going to ask us not to cuss and you're just asking us not to play a part of our show. And it's like, I mean, obviously like if I'm going to like St. Jude's to meet some kids, I'm not going to go in there and be like, what the fuck is up, y'all? I'm just going to, you know, like I know I'm a grown up. I know how to act, but I played shows. I actually played this show at this high school. And this was like the one time that anyone ever got mad at me. And it wasn't even like, I don't even remember what high school it was somewhere in East Texas. And we got up there, we played and we ended with Diamond Rings and Cocaine. And they were like, all they told us was that we couldn't cuss. And we're like, sick. We can play all of our songs. And they're like, yeah, cool. So we ended with Diamond Rings and Cocaine, and there was like probably 100 fans there that were up front. And then there was like another couple hundred people that were at like the school function behind them. And we kick into it and like, you know, it's right into it. It's Diamond Rings and Coke. And it like, everybody looks and just like looks at us and I'm like, oh shit, this could be bad. And we go off stage and Chase, who's my manager now, was just tour managing me at the time. And he was just like, whoop, there we go. They're not very happy, but we got paid already. So, you know.
Oh man, that's the biggest annoyance I think for Wes myself too is in the industry as in just country music in general is when people are like, don't say this or don't like say or edit this or in comedy, like when like comedians go on the late night shows and they can't use like their actual good
material.
I'm like, what's the point sometimes? Especially if they try to like keep editing you. But
yeah,
you're getting played on radio now, right?
Absolutely. That's what I'm on right now is radio tour. And it's like, with excuses. Yeah, we have, you can't say bullshit yet on the radio. And I really, it's a yet thing. I really think that over the next, like, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I don't know when you're gonna be able to say fuck on radio or if, but you know, there's certain words that are just word. Like,
I still just, don't man, always get it. I don't,
that, that's like, how I is feel. Your I think it's a 6 year old guy thing, you know,
is your 6 year old, like putting on the radio station and being like, what is that word? And then like going to Google and searching it and then like going to school and saying it. No, he says it because dad just accidentally broke something.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's absolutely they're around it anyway. Like it's a word, you know,
it is, bullshit. Man. And like, I try to watch my mouth around my kids and like, you know, I do a decent job of it, but I mean, it's just part of my everyday vocabulary. And it's part of, to be honest, everyone that I know's everyday vocabulary, like every word is a part of like
fuck is like everything is positive. Fucking this, fucking that. Gary Vaynerchuk.
On stage, man. You know?
Gary V had a great thing where he got into it. Not got into it, but somebody asked him, like, do you curse around your kids? He's like, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That's how I talk. And then he goes about his employees or something. This one resonated with me because He goes, just the way I talk. He goes, if you say, do I care about my employees? So asking me with my employee, do I care about them or do I give a fuck about them? He goes, the second sounds a lot more meaningful to me. And that's how I am. Do you give a fuck about somebody or do you care about them?
Yeah.
I care. Yeah, sure. No, I give a serious fuck about that. You know, so just a word.
Actually, that's how I feel, man. Like, I think
it's an emphasis.
Yeah, they're just words. It's really just I'm not gonna say like "fuck you." Like, you know, there's obviously ways that it can be used more like but like it's just like it's a big like it's so hard to really get your point across sometimes without having that word, you know. But that's the reason everyone uses it is because it's a great like bam, and then you get it.
My daughter just turned one, and we were like, "Is there?" Do you think she understands that yet? Like, we were just like, think she knows that that's like a word, or because she's like knows stuff that I'm kind of surprised she does, but like I'll say music and she'll look where like the speaker comes out, and I'm like, so she knows what that means. She knows where it comes from. But when I say fuck, does she like know what that, you know?
Man, like I don't know. You know, that's like I wish there was a way to get into a 1-year-old's head and see how they process things, you know. But I mean, I know that for sure my 4-year-old knows what fuck means. So,
but if your 4-year-old or one of your other children kind of, maybe the kid was bullying them or something, would you go to the other kid and go, "Hey man, fuck you"? Like, if you say it to a kid, are they gonna know it? No.
Are they gonna get the message?
What is that? Like, they're not gonna get the message. No. That's my worst fear moving forward. I'm like, he's still 2, so he's like at a Montessori thing, or they like paint and like are cutting grapes and stuff. It's just like, but when you get to the stage where they're like, "Hey, give me that toy. And then like one kid slugs another kid slugs. It's like, yeah, and then the dad's got to act like normal. It's like, no, fuck you. Your kid was a fucking asshole.
Oh, man.
Like, have you had any experiences like that?
Yeah, dude, absolutely. I'm super, like, I'm like the most like cool, like calm headed, like chill guy. Like the last thing I want is confrontation, but I'm also like the most protective guy. So like anything with like any of my girls, like, just, you know, so like any story that I hear, like there's this one kid that was fucking with Josie the other day. It was before she even started pre-K. It was when she was in still in Mother's Day Out, and there's this one kid that was fucking with her, just like pushed her out on the playground or something, and I was just like, my first reaction was like, "What did you do, fucking kick his ass?" And Glenn was like, no. I was like, "Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't say that." But then I was like, "All right, where the fuck is he? Because I want to kick his ass." You know, like, I want, where's his dad? I'm gonna go beat his dad up then for that. You know, like, I'm gonna teach somebody a lesson.
And like, it's just banker, it's tough, like, miserable, doesn't even know what's going on.
Yeah, like,
then you got you walking in. He's like,
probably, oh, man. It would God. Probably so true. Like, but yeah, it's like, so I don't know. It's so hard to
just get him in jujitsu and all that MMA shit. And like,
boxing, bro. Fuck, I'm gonna get him some gloves, man.
I just bought a big, like, professional style
heavy bag,
boxing little setup and bag, and like kind of versus hanging from the ceiling, kind of has like a little bit of a setup. And he's never seen it, never had one, never took him to the gym. And I just like put it down, and he like started hitting. I was like, "What does he fucking know this?" And I'm just like, "Hell yeah, like good." Yeah, like, he's already, he's like, he did the ear smack. That's like the old school. I think that was like the old school, like Boss Rudin. You like slap their eardrums.
Yeah.
I was like, "Fuck yeah, dude." I'm like, he's coming up with some interesting stuff, man. But.
I don't know. Like, that shit scares me, man. Like, I don't know. Like, and kids are going to be kids. So like, you know, shit's going to happen. I'm sure at some point there's going to be a kid that my kids hate and that they want to, that, you know, is mean to them or something. And I'm going to have to just like accept it and deal with it, you know? And it's just like, that's the part I hate, but it's just part of life. Suck, you know?
Dude. Yeah,
kids do suck, man. And that's like
all parents, but it comes at home, right? It's like the home is where it starts. That's the hard part where you're.
Yeah. My daughter bit someone the other day. She's barely a year old, and the school is like, "Well, she bit someone." And I'm like, "Is she really though? Like, she's got one. She's got one tooth. Like, she kind of just nibbles on things." Like, I'm like, "She didn't really." This 1-year old's being a little bitch about it.
Yeah, and I like the guy. Yeah, bit the guy's face off on bath salts.
Dude, yeah, like I got of Mother's Day Out when I was like 3 for biting the kid. I think, I don't know what the kid did, but he was being a big pussy, and fucking, after I bit him, I just got like, obviously I don't really know what happened, but as far as I know, I bit the kid, he was bumming, they kicked me out. That's the end of the story. I think I turned into a good person. So, I mean, I think you're gonna be all right. You know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. New album. Where did you come up with that title?
So
Boy from Anderson. Hold on. Boy from Anderson County into the Moon. That has to be one of the longest titles probably I've seen in a while. Wes, right? Mm-hmm. What did she say? It's a pretty long title. Cool album art too. Big shout out to that.
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah, thank you. So the title is just like, it's co-title tracks. So the last two songs on the album are Boy from Anderson County and then To the Moon. And I knew ever since I've had like this, you know, this project, like I knew it was going to be, I knew what songs were going to be on it. I knew that I really loved both these songs, and that both of these songs really meant a lot to me, you know, because Boyfriend of Some County is just me and my wife's like whole story. And then To the Moon is like this whole story about how, you know, people are going through shit, and it doesn't matter who you are, that you're you know, people are still human, and there's, you know, everyone's got feelings and blah, blah, blah. And you should just be a good person. So like both of these songs really resonated with me, and I really love the titles. And I was like, man, I just don't know which one I want to pick. And then I was like, oh fuck, it's my album. I can just put them together. And it, you know, it was it's a long album title, but I think it's cool. And then the album art. So I was on the phone with Chase, and we were just talking about it. And he was like, yeah, man, we, you know, we got to have some kind of artwork. The album comes out in like a month and a half. What are you thinking? And I was just sitting in the living room. Jillian was in bed taking a nap. Josie was at school, or no, Josie was in the playroom, and Charlie was napping, and I was just sitting there in the kitchen, and I had this piece of paper and Josie's colored pencils, and I was drawing. I was like, all right, I got this fucking idea. I want like the astronaut in the middle of a field looking at this like mountains, and this is badass, like look up the stars, blah, blah, blah. And I had like this really shitty drawing that I posted on my Instagram with like the first and then like the second. And I mean, literally people were thinking that my daughter drew it. It's fucking awful. I'm horrible at drawing, but it's, and then Chase, Chase Hamlin sent it to the people in Austin. They just absolutely slayed it, man. I mean, it came out so fucking cool.
I love it.
Thank you, man.
I was trying to find it.
What's your favorite song from the album?
I think either Are We on Fire or Storm's Coming are my two favorites. And also Stars Fall Down, because it means a lot to me about my girls.
Yeah, I was driving in today listening to the record, and like I said, I got a 1-year-old girl, and I heard that, and I know you got a couple girls, and I was just like, I'm such a pussy. Okay.
Like, no, man, I am, and I'm like, you know, I'm so in touch with my emotions, man. I mean, shit like that makes me cry all the time. I mean, we wrote that song in January of 2020. So like, what the fuck today? September 22nd of 2022. So like, you know, a minute ago, and it's taken me all that time to get to where, like, when I play it, I don't tear up and, you know, think about, because I just have to like not think about my kids when I play it, essentially, or I'm going to tear up, because it's just, you know, I want the best for my kids, just like every parent does, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the artist. There was like a song, Wes, that's just gonna be so vague, I shouldn't even bring it up. There was an artist that said like they had a song that they couldn't play live because they were like struggling to finish. Oh, that's that Blake Shelton story, I think, with Miranda when they were together.
Yeah.
When his brother died, right? And then she recorded it because he couldn't play it live. She released it as a single. I think that was that story.
Oh yeah, man. Is that
Over You? Over You.
Yeah, dude, that song's fucking great, man. Oh, God. That song's real good.
But hearing him say that's the reason, great. You're like, shit, like, that's going to happen when you actually write, you know, like your own material from experience, right?
You're good. We have a song off our last album, not the last album, the one before, called Curse October. And it's the last song off The Good Ones, our last album. And it's a song about losing my dad. I lost my dad when I was a freshman in high school. And yeah, man, it's one that I've never played live, and it's one, like, it streams well for us. Like, it's one of our, like not one of our biggest songs, but it does, like, it's like people know it, and like people request it every show. It's just like, if I play this, I'm going to ball like a little bitch on stage, and then, you know, then I'm going to be inconsolable and have to go to the bus. So it's better that we just listen to it in private and, you know, DM me if you're bumming and we'll talk about it, you know.
What? I don't know, Wes, if you saw one of the questions.
Yeah, we actually had a fan question asking about the meaning of that song.
The meaning, yeah. Literally, you just answered it. So,
well, there you go. Yeah, it's about my me and Chase, my brother. It's about our dad. So when we were in eighth grade, he got diagnosed with glioblastoma, brain cancer, and about a year and 2 months later, passed away. And it was really tough. But you know, I mean, I guess just here we are now, and you know, shit happens, fucking sucks, but that's just part of life, I guess, you know. You gotta learn to accept things and try to make people proud now, you know.
doing a good job of it.
Yeah, I absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things too, where it's like real life and like in authenticity, real stories, like always seem to resonate with fans. And like that song's such an example. Like people are like, oh, play it live. And, you know, and it's people just sense the, like the honesty and the realness and love that went into it. And
absolutely, man. Yeah, cause it's a real ass thing, you know, like you know, I feel like I put real stories and real pieces into all the shit I make. But like, then it's like, when you get real about topics that are tough like that, and topics that are inevitable, that everyone, no matter where you are, you're going to go to that at some point. Like it's, you know, it's just on a different level, and people can really connect to a song in a different way.
Well, I also feel like you have so many heartbreakers and you're like happily married with a family. And it's like, what the fuck, man? Like, I know you're not over.
Yeah, did she ask about that?
Man, you know, I used to honestly like be nervous to share songs when I'd write them, because I'd be like, fuck, man. Like, I'd have to tell her, like, hey, babe, you know, I love you. Like, this is just, you know, this is about
an idea.
What's his face and da, da, da. Like, this is about how shitty their relationship is. What do you think? And then, like, when you get to the internet, she's always like, well, this is really good. Are you sure we're good? You know, but it's obviously now it's like we've worked past that now. She understands that the bummers aren't about her.
Just telling a story.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your, are you one of these, we do these sad, like we're asking a lot of artists, like sad songs that make me happy, not technically happy, but you know, like we love sad country songs and all these things. Do you have some classics that you always love?
Yeah, dude. Let me look at my country music playlist. Dude, I got a couple of playlists just for the vibes, and I got this country one. Let me see. I mean, there's a million. Like, I mean,
that's a good when you're smoking weed though, and you're in like in it. And I like if you're in a good mood and you smoke, and then you put on that music versus like you're already kind of in a shit mood, and then because then it can kind of get a little like fucked up in the head, but then.
Yeah.
It's like when you intentionally go there, I feel like that's when you're just like get the most like therapy out of it.
1000%, like, man. Like that's with music too. Like whenever getting stoned and going and listening to this old country music, that's like shit, dude. I'm looking for a song. There's one Gene Watson, 14 Karat Mind. You know that one? I'm just looking at my playlist. That's one that's like just about a girl that he spent all his money on. And he's just talking about being drunk by railroad tracks, thinking about her. Dude, that's
Marino.
Like,
I need to pull up the lyrics.
Come on, dude. That chorus, the chorus.
Oh, Denver. So, there we go.
Denver in there. Railroad tracks in Denver. So Gene Watson's from Palestine. It's my hometown. Random.
Which is like, you have like 60 people in your hometown, right?
Well, that's like, so. So Bradford's my actual, like where I grew up, but Palestine is where I was born. So there's not a hospital in Bradford, but there's a small hospital in Palestine. And I got popped out there and then brought home to Bradford. But Gene Watson was born there too. Fun fact. There's a million old country songs like Rose in Paradise by Waylon Jennings, story about you ever heard Rose in Paradise?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've heard that one, to be honest.
I've been having the Waylon because of my wife's dad loves that old school country. Like he'll come over, I'll like learn stuff from him, even though he's from Bulgaria. I'll put on Waylon Jennings radio on Spotify and I'll just start hearing songs that I was like, oh, I've never heard that one. And then recently and her mom's here now, I started playing that stuff and I was like, oh wow. Cause I didn't get into that stuff until I was older, which is weird. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Further away from when it was released, I got more into it versus 90s country was like my only thing initially, and then now it's like I love putting on the old school stuff. So it sounds like you really know your old school stuff.
Oh man, I'm like that's what I was fucking raised on early on. That's all my dad would play in the cow truck and shit. But like Rose in Paradise is dude, as far as Waylon songs go, that's my all-time favorite Waylon song. It's top tier. It's a song about a banker's wife and the story, like it just ends and you don't know if like, so the banker hired a man to take care of his house, be a lawn keeper, gardener, everything, and also to watch his wife while he was gone working to make sure she wasn't, you know, running around, whatever bullshit. And one day when he got home, the gardener was gone, and also his wife was gone, and they don't know if she left with him or if he killed her and left. But it ends, and it's just like, it's left open for interpretation, but it seems like he killed the bitch, and it's just fucking crazy, dude. Like, I love this shit.
Dude, I love a good murder ballad, though, man.
Oh, and it's coming back a little bit. Yeah, but miss those.
Absolutely, man. Real country music. It's like the good story songs, like songs that are almost based nowhere in reality, but like you see, it's like they were just, I don't know what the fuck they were doing, some hard drugs, and like, what if?
You know? Right. One good recent one, I don't know if you know these folks at all. We've never met Hardy, but Lainey Wilson's one of our favorites, and they just released that "Wait in the Truck" song, I think.
Yeah.
You're like, man, that's good. Yeah,
it's great, man.
That's to put that out there as like mainstream, so to speak. You know, I'm like, that's exciting to hear that. Like, that kind of reminds me back in the days of Whiskey Lullaby, Brad Paisley, those type of things. Yeah. You know, it's like the stuff sticks with you forever. You never forget the lyrics.
Yeah, that one. 1,000%. Alyssa Lies by Jason Michael Carroll. Do you remember that song?
Like, that one's so sad, man.
That always comes up on when we ask, what's the, I forgot the question.
Like, one of the saddest country songs of all time.
Or your favorite sad song or something.
For sure. That's definitely
everybody on Twitter says that.
It's like not even
he's underrated.
Favorite. It's like sickly sad. Like,
dude, that's the thing. Like, I don't even like to say I like the song because it's so sad. Like, right? Fucking, it's obviously a phenomenal song. Just the writing, everything is just phenomenal, but like I cannot listen to it without crying, and I don't like crying, so I don't listen to it, you know? And that's a bummer because it's a great song.
You know what, I tweeted about this, but for me, I don't know if there's ever anything with a dog dying is rough. Yeah. Like, I just, like, right away I'm in a rough spot, and then you get Chris Stapleton singing about it, which you think it'll never happen, and he does Maggie's song, and I'm just like, I can't do this shit. Like, I'm like, I cannot. So it's like, I'll like force myself. If I have a couple of beers after a podcast or whatever, it's like 6 o'clock, sun, like nice and cool. Like, go take the dog for a walk and go sit in a park and just like sit there and kind of like, I'll like listen to that. And it's just like, it's impossible not to cry. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
You have,
I mean, if you're a dog, sitting there with your dog too, bro. I mean, yeah. And you're like, just like yourself in prime position to cry.
You're just like, what the fuck? But I think that for me is, I don't know, maybe people cry to Drake. I think people say he's all in his feels and stuff, but to me, country music is where you cry. Like, that's where you go to cry. Like,
yeah, 1,000%, man. I think I don't cry to much rocker or
much
rap.
Post Malone's
another example, right, where it's like all like emotional stuff, but it's like the delivery of it matters to me too.
Yeah.
You get that little just like acoustic guitar going, I'm just like, forget it.
Yeah.
I'm done. No, I'm finished.
1,000%, man. The production and the intro of the song is just as important as the song itself, you know? So it's, if so, you're with someone that's good,
we got to figure out a sad song to huddle up on and write.
Just write one.
Just get really, really,
dog song.
Really sad.
Hey, how come nobody ever writes songs about their cat dying?
Man, I have a cat at the house that I absolutely adore.
We're not going to think about that, so we don't got to ask you the question.
Well, I'm not, but I don't know, man. Like, I'm not going to, you know, good cats, like, this is not a good, like, you ever heard Good Dogs by Jameson Rogers? Like, that's a great title, it's a great song. Like, good cats, it's not a, you know, cats.
We had Jameson on the podcast right when that came out.
It's good.
We're like, I'm not gonna listen to that, man. Like, sorry. Yeah.
It's sad, dude.
One of my favorite things ever, though, I think I've brought up on here before, was when people have cats and want to tell you how amazing the cat is, like, you don't get it, man. They go, it acts like a dog. It's like, but okay, if that's the case, just, you could get a dog, and guess what, when you come home, the dog's gonna jump on you and be happy to see you. The cat's not gonna just go shit in a box and walk away,
you know? Like, I had two cats growing up.
So it's not that I don't unlike cats. They're so easy. And kill the mouse. We got a mouse that got into the basement. You had a cat, you throw it in there, you shut the door, come back in an hour.
At the door holding the cat on the mouse.
like mice and like fucking snakes and shit. Like we've had, you know, at our old house when we lived in Bradford still, we had this big ass snake out like by this tree and we let our cat out and, you know, it scared it up the tree, at least got it fucking away. You know, I was hoping they're it would super kill it, but well, dude, they're also assholes. Like it depends on the cat. Like the cat we have now is genuinely, we've had four now and this is our fifth cat and it's my favorite cat we've ever had. No, it's our fourth cat and it's an incredible cat. But like, we've had it since it was like 4 or 5 weeks old or some shit. And like Josie was like two when we got her, got Deanie. So it was like, she was able to throw around and play with her and like, they really grew up together. So now she's just like chill around the girls and she doesn't, you know, like if she doesn't want to play with them, she'll just meow at them once and they get it and run off. So it's good, man. And it's the litter box way easier than opening door, walking. We're going to get a dog at some point. Just not want to have a third baby on the way. And
all that's to me, what was the most exciting or the most fun to watch was we already had the dog. And then when we had our son, when there were babies, through like 1 year, it's like that, whatever. And then as they start kind of bonding, as he turns one and a half, two, you're like, holy shit. Like yesterday we were filming for like 5 minutes. He kept taking my hat off, putting it on the dog and then hugging him with his arm around him and then taking it off and doing it again. I could sit here for 3 hours and just watch this. You know what I mean?
It's ridiculous.
That's the thing. So Wes, cat or dog, but maybe fish, maybe ferret, maybe. What is Evie going to like?
I have pets.
We got a fish too. And I was like,
well, the thing is I grew up with everything. I had a frog. I had iguanas. We had hamsters. I had a hedgehog.
Horse. Right.
I had horses, chickens, pig, like, farm animals, but like cats, dogs, bunch of shit. And I don't want any of it anymore.
What was like, what was the iguana like? I mean, not a fan or what?
It was cool. I was pretty young and my dad built like a big, like, wall size like terrarium. But
what's the point?
That's what I said. Had a question. In retrospect, I'm like, why? Like it was cool.
One of my best buddies I grew up with, they always had iguanas and snakes. I'm like, I get it. You want to look at it, right? Maybe pick it up. But past that,
right? And then I went to Costa Rica on my honeymoon. They're fucking falling out of the tree and just like hitting the concrete.
They're like squirrels. They're like squirrels. Like, yeah. I went to a wedding in Mexico and they were just, the iguanas are the size of possums and they're just falling out of the tree.
You're like, what the fuck is wrong with this iguana's drunk?
And then they just leave you alone and they're chill and they just walk by. I'm like, this is a dinosaur.
1,000%, man. It is. It is like, if you put me back, like fucking, if you blindfolded me and took it off and put me in a desert with those things and told me I was 1,000 years, fucking 10,000 years in the past, and these were the babies of a mama dinosaur, I'd be like, oh shit, where's the
mama? Would you rather be put in a remember the Fear Factor days? Would you rather be like put in a coffin and you would get $1 million or some shit, but you put in a coffin and like, what's your worst case scenario where you have to be in there? You could breathe and stuff, but where you have to be in there for call it a minute, you wouldn't get $1 million.
What's like the worst animal you could put in there? With
Like something that's not going to literally like eat you alive.
Obviously. I'm going to say,
most people say it's like snakes, right?
I would say either fucking roaches, spiders, or scorpions would all really bum me out pretty hard. I think that I could accept the fact that I'm going to lay in a pit of non-venomous snakes for a minute and get $1 million. But I don't think that I could accept laying in a fucking pit of spiders for a minute. Like that would really bum me out. And like, you know, I've got long hair too. So like how do I know that one didn't just like get in, you know? No way.
Laying eggs in your ear.
I would do like a pit of puppies for a minute for $1 million. That would be what I want. Easy.
I hate bees. I found a wasp's nest on my deck the other day.
I'm allergic to them.
I don't know if I'm allergic to them. I was stung when I was a kid, but can you like be allergic when you're an adult?
We had a wasp nest start to form, believe it or not. I'd like have a little like nook in the garage. That's like the little man gambling cave. And the wasps came in and started making a nest in between the couch cushions. And I was like, my wife's like, oh, I saw one go in there. I go, what? You didn't say something?
That wasn't alarming.
Because I'm like, I like went through and I was like, what the hell is this? And it was very obvious. And I was like, Jesus Christ. The scorpion thing is funny you mentioned. I just saw a video somewhere. I don't know what country. I don't, could have been Arizona, but it could have been Mexico. But there's like a challenge they do. Have you seen this where you like grab the beer and you put it on it? You put the scorpion on the beer and the game is to like, do you have the balls to drink your beer without getting like stung in the face by the scorpion?
What?
Yeah, while it sits on here and you're just like this.
Man, it's I don't like
but it's like that much. This is what alcohol does. This is booze is legal and this is what people are doing on it. And then weed is not legal in every state.
Just like, I've never seen anyone take a joint with a scorpion and go, watch this.
If anything, they like build a house with a scorpion out of like the extra drywall they have.
Yeah, exactly.
And they wake up and like, what the hell was I doing last night?
Weed's not illegal in Texas, right?
No shot.
Jeez, that's so weird to me. I feel like everyone I know from Texas is a fan.
Connoisseur.
I mean, yeah, I think everyone I know is a fan in general. So I don't know what the fuck's up, man. But I mean, I don't know. I would certainly hope that in the next few years it is. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Speaking of Texas, we had another fan question. What's your go-to barbecue joint in the state of Texas? Or it could be anywhere, but I imagine it's Texas.
My go-to barbecue joint is there's a million great ones. Terry Black's is probably what Parker said.
Yeah.
Right. Terry regular. Black's is definitely one of one of the great ones. That's in my list, but I right now it's Stanley's and Tyler just because I live in Tyler and it's fucking Stanley's is great. So
nice.
But there's also awesome. This place outside of Tyler. I saw Paul Coughlin post about it. I haven't tried it yet a lot. When I go back and try it, I think it's called Pat G's. I think I may have absolutely just fucked the name up, but I'm going to try that one. I'll let you know next time if it's better.
Does Paul Coughlin live in Tyler too?
Yeah, he lives somewhere around Tyler in the East Texas area, you know, ETX Bullworth.
I feel like I've heard a lot about Tyler, Texas. How many other people live there? Artists.
I live there. Chris Colston lives there. Joe Nichols lives there.
That's what I was thinking of.
So a lot of the Whiskey Myers guys live there. Paul Coughlin lives there. Dylan Wheeler lives not too far from there. There's a band Joint Custody there. There's Blacktop Mojo, another band. There's a million bands and it's fucking East Texas. Yeah. bunch of music there, man. A whole lot of music coming out of it.
Before we let you go, where are you at right now in the hotel? You're on the radio tour.
I'm on radio tour. I'm in Houston right now. So I'm in the home state. But I'm on radio tour. I was in my last 2 weeks. Let me look at my calendar real quick just so I can tell you because it's absolutely fucking bonkers.
Yeah, I was gonna say before we let you go, what's the rest of the year looking like for you?
We got a bunch of shows. I'm finishing a radio tour right now. Okay, last week I was in Phoenix. I was in Phoenix, LA, Vegas, Portland, Seattle. And then that was all in 4 days. And then
this week I've been in. But you're doing it for. I know why you're doing it. I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
I'm remove what you're doing. Having to do that if you were just like an investment banker and you're just right.
I think about that every time I'm on the plane because there's these dudes flying like, you know, flights all the time. And I'm just looking over and like, I literally sat next to this dude that was fucking typing out his quarterlies for all the McDonald's that he ran. And I was just like, dude, I'm so fucking glad that I'm sitting here watching Madden YouTube videos. and I'm just flying to go talk to radio stations. I'm so thankful. But yeah, this week I was in Minneapolis, fucking Green Bay, than Milwaukee. And then I got to Dallas yesterday, and then I got to Houston this morning. So,
well, you seem like you've got the energy and the glow about you doing it for the first time, kind of the radio tour.
Yeah, like no, I'm
a few more of them. You start to, oh shit, this is kind of brutal, but.
Yeah, man, that's so far so good. We'll check back with me in a few months. We'll see.
And part of that is like there's probably a show at a venue kind of somewhere nearby, right?
Well, I mean, Sunday through Thursday or Wednesday, really, like it's been like I'm going to places like Minneapolis, like Green Bay, places that we play. Like we played Madison, Wisconsin a couple times. We've never been further north or so like places that we haven't gone and we're not going until 2023. It's like,
yeah.
You know, you can't really wait till 23. So he's got to fly there. But like, yeah, I mean, we're in, you know, playing Houston tomorrow. So we're just visiting Houston today. So it's stuff like that's easier. And then a lot of our tour, like we're doing a bunch of shows with Co, like we were saying the rest of the year. And we just got a bunch of shit going on, man. Yeah, I guess if there's anything anyone wants to come to, you can look it up on our website and should be there. I don't know. I haven't checked it, but I would think it's going to be there if we're going to be somewhere. So
love it. Well, hey, stay safe in Houston and enjoy it. And love you, brother.
Hey, love y'all, man. Music. Thank you so much for the support, as always.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, everyone, go get that album if you haven't already.
Yeah. Go check out Boy from Anderson County to the Moon. It's a long title, but you should check it out. It's badass.
A great long title. I didn't mean it was long. I was like, I like that. What if it went another sentence? I like that two sentences or three.
Well, I mean, dude, I thought about it. Dude, I should have just like, made every title into like a 85 word sentence and called the album that.
I feel like some of those old Fall Out Boy records were called like they had songs titled like I Made My Lawyer Change This Because We Almost Got Sued. Like that was the name of a song. Really. It has nothing to do with the song, but
that's like a pop punk thing. Like Suicide Boys do that shit too. Like I don't know, Suicide Boys, they're badass. And there's like a bunch of random song names sometimes. It's very interesting. But yeah, man, thank y'all so much for
all right, Kobe.
Hanging, man.
Cheers, brother.
Peace,
you
y'all.
Too, man. See ya.